Here's another message from Pastor Phil Carswell from Life Christian Church.
This morning we want to look at something called Discovering Why You've Been Born, just for the next few moments, this little chat that I have for you. You know, the cry of every human heart is to find fulfillment in life, discovering a purpose for living. I think I don't need to remind you that humankind didn't just crawl out of a swamp. We're not just a random chance mix of molecules. We're here on earth for a purpose. And discovering that purpose is something that brings us real fulfillment in life. We want to talk about that over this next little while. There are two things on the journey of discovering why you've been born that might be helpful for you this morning. We want to look at the life of Moses. And we read firstly from Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 23 of that chapter, you see there, by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Just to fill in the background here for a moment, Pharaoh had decreed, because the children of Israel in captivity in Egypt had grown strong in number, and I guess Pharaoh was feeling a little bit nervous about that. And so he issued an edict, and the edict sort of said, the order of the Pharaoh was that every baby boy that was born of the Israelite nation was to be thrown into the Nile, and only the girls were allowed to live. Now Moses' mother saw that the child that was born to her was a little boy, and was a healthy, nice-looking little fellow, and so she made up a little basket, like a boat, covered it with pitch, and put it amongst the bulrushes in the Nile. She hid him for 3 months before that, but then it got too difficult, so then she thought she better see what she could do. As it turned out, Pharaoh's daughter was down by the river on this occasion, and she saw this baby in the basket. And she felt compassion, I guess, and took the baby home and raised Moses as an Egyptian in Pharaoh's palace. The story goes on in verse 30-24. In Hebrews, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, is 40 years old at this time. So he's been in the palace for 40 years. When he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Underline that last sentence. He saw him who is invisible. We'll talk about that as we get on in our little talk this morning. Moses on one occasion was out amongst the Israelite people, 40 years of age, and he saw an Egyptian mistreating one of the Israelite people, and anger rose up inside him, and he actually murdered the man and covered him with sand. When it was sort of known that he had done this, he ran off and fled to a far country out into the desert, afraid of Pharaoh at that stage. Now Moses had an identity crisis. Who am I? I'm born a Jew, but I've been brought up an Egyptian, trained in the Egyptian culture, educated with Egyptian thinking, exposed to Egyptian religion, their pagan gods. But he was born with a purpose. So he made a decision to confirm his identity, and that was the first step in him discovering that purpose for which he was born. 40 years later, he had an encounter with God, the burning bush. We'll talk about that in a moment. There he discovered the purpose for which he'd been born. But during those 40 years waiting, there was an opportunity to break free from any godless thinking, teaching and culture and ways of his Egyptian upbringing. In fact, he was 40 years in the Egyptian Pharaoh's palace growing up. And then he was 40 years in the wilderness before God actually revealed to him his purpose. So he had a full 40 years for this thinking of his background and his family background to be worked out and for him to identify his own identity. Discovering why you've been born. The first point I want to make this morning is we need to confirm our identity. Discovering why you've been born, confirming our identity is the first step in that. Knowing who I am is fundamental to my emotional and spiritual health. And it helps me with the next major question. Why am I here? What is my purpose? I need to know who I am. I need to know why I'm here. What the purpose for life is for me. So who am I? Who are you? If you've said yes to Jesus and made a personal commitment to him, the Bible says you're a brand new creation. A brand new person. You're a Christian here today, you're God's child. A member of the family of God, a child of the King, a child of the majestic, all-powerful creator of the universe. That's your identity. It doesn't get much better than that. That's our identity in Christ. The Bible talks a number of times about being in Christ. That's who we are. That's our standing in him. We read from Ephesians 1 in the NLT. It says there in verse 4, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. They're powerful verses. This is who we are. The devil doesn't want you to know that. Sometimes the voices in our head tell us something different to that. But we need to keep coming back to that truth. This is who we are in Christ. We are a child of the King. We are King's kids. Born because of what Jesus has done for us. If we're a believer today, God has put his life in us. We sang about that a few minutes ago. The indwelling, empowering presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Further on in Ephesians, we read in verse 13, and it says, now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. One of the other versions, it says, we were sealed. That's the seal on the contract. We are now God's possession. We belong to him because of what he has done for us and our new birth experience. In fact, in those verses, it goes on to say that the Holy Spirit is really a down payment on us. We are on lay-by. And one day God's going to bring us home to himself. We are bought with a price. Now, there's a life principle that I just want to point out to you here. And the life principle is this, that we will live out who we believe we are. In the long term, we will live out who we believe we are. So it's really important we get this identity thing right. Who am I? I'm in Christ. I'm a child of the King. And the stronger we identify with that identity that we have, the more naturally we will live out who we believe we are. We need to commit to allowing God to work in us. The Holy Spirit will prompt us toward that and empower us to live out God's character and to live out God's ways. So this is living out our identity. Now, I want to say too, though, that some of us have the same challenge that Moses did. And that is that we need to break free from some of the behavior and response patterns modeled in the family that we grew up in. Moses had 40 years to work through that in his own mind. And because of the families that we have grown up in, there are some healthy things and some unhealthy things. And we need the opportunity to work through those unhealthy patterns that we have had in our families that we grew up in. In our natural selves and in my natural self, we will likely replicate the unhealthy patterns that we experienced in our families that we grew up in. So when the same situations occur, we will naturally run toward and respond in the same way as those unhealthy patterns that were modeled in our family of origin or the family that we grew up in. So another life principle is going back in order to go forward. We need to go back in order to go forward. In the family that I grew up in the family that you grew up in, there are some example questions to consider. Firstly, how was love and affection displayed in your family? How was love and affection? My father was a good man. He was honest, hard-working, generous man. But I can't remember a time when he actually hugged me as a boy growing up. Now, that was somewhat part of the culture of the day. And it was also somewhat part of my dad's experience, having a very tragic relationship with his own father. And he may have hugged me, but I can't remember that he did. So when it comes to my family, it's easy to hug little girls, daughters, but you have to work harder with guys. And so I had to work hard to make sure that I have had that affection for my boys in a huggy way so that they knew and experienced what affection in the family is. You see what I'm trying to say here? The patterns are there. They're inbred in us, in our upbringing, and we will replicate that unless we take action to make that change and allow God to work in us to make that change in our own families. In your family of origin, how was conflict handled? How was anger dealt with? Blow up, silence, avoidance? Did your family talk about feelings? How was sexuality talked about? What was considered as success? I remember riding in the car with Dad when I was quite young, and we drove up the street and I saw a man's house who we knew. He was a neighbour and he used to come and visit our home. He was a nice man, but his home was a broken down shambles. And I happened to say to Dad, "Whoa, that's a terrible house." And my father, without blinking an eye, just simply said to me, "Yes, but it's home to him." And so the values that were there in my father really came out to me quite clearly. They were the patterns of life. We weren't brought up to understand anything outside of doing your best, working hard, and experiencing joy in many other things other than money and material possessions. How was money handled is another question. And also, you must achieve to be loved and approved of. Many families, of course, you'll get my approval if you do this. If you live this way or you behave this way, then I will approve you. And that approval addiction will come out in our lives and it'll come out in the families that we raise as well. Things that we need to look at. There are healthy and unhealthy patterns in almost every family. And we need to break free from unhealthy patterns. Now, it's rarely an event. It's more a journey. And sometimes it's a difficult journey and there's some pain involved as we look at those sorts of things. Can I suggest we need to, and I need to, commit to God working in my life. Listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings and seek the Holy Spirit's help in making those changes. When we read the scriptures, when we listen to messages, when we sing some of the songs and choruses, when we're out on our own, away from the traffic noise of life, and we hear the Holy Spirit say, "That response was out of whack with the way that I want you to be." Well, that response is not how I need you to be. That response is something that you have taken in from the old pattern, and then asking God, Will you empower me by your Spirit to make the change that I need to make in life? And I might say, well, that's just the way I am. I can't change. I can change. God wants me to change. God will help me change. And God wants you to change. And God will help you change. Or I might say, that's just the way that I was brought up. Well, it's not good enough. I need to make changes in my life. There are some good resources from this. There's a book that you might be interested in called The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Kaziro. Useful resource. Or in the Life Keys parenting program, there's a whole session on family maps and family mapping. Mapping our family of origin, mapping our current family, and learning some interesting principles there. Have a talk to Beris after the service and she can point you in that direction. So discovering why you've been born, confirm our identity. Secondly, embrace God's plan for our lives or for your life. Moses confirmed his identity, then he fled the country. It was time for him to learn more about his identity and unlearn some of the things from his Egyptian upbringing. We read on from Hebrews 11:27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses had an encounter with God, and we read about that in Exodus chapter 3. In verse 1, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Interesting. Moses actually went across and investigated. God saw that he was investigating, and then the call came. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Down to verse 9, this is God speaking, and he says, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people Israelites out of Egypt. So God reveals to Moses his plan for his life. Suddenly Moses realizes and understands why he was born. It took 80 years, and now the call has come. At first, Moses was reluctant, but then he embraces God's plan for his life, and the rest is history, and perhaps the greatest story of deliverance and leadership in the Bible. Can I just say to you this morning, and to me as well, that you've been born with a purpose. God has a plan for your life. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Say that with me. I am God's masterpiece. Good thing for us in the morning, get out of bed and stand in front of the mirror and say, I am God's masterpiece. Okay. Feels a bit strange, doesn't it? But that's what the Bible says. I'm God's masterpiece. I'm created by him. So in a physical sense, I'm a masterpiece of his hand, creation hand. But because I've been recreated in Christ and given God's life in me, the Bible says I'm a masterpiece. And I am that because I've been transformed by the power of God in my life. And now I've been set to do the good things that he planned for me to do. Long time ago. God's plan for your life is unique and universal. It's universal in the sense that every Christian has been given the role of being a reflection of Jesus. We are Jesus to the world. We are God with skin on. We are a reflection of the character and ways of God. So there's a universal sense, but there's also a unique sense. And the unique sense is because you are unique. There's no one else like you. Your personality, background, training, passions, and role and place in the community is unique. And simply, service is simply God living through you, right where you are, just as you are. And you and I exited the womb already equipped to serve God in the way that He wants us to. He never called you to be anything other than you. So can I just say one thing here for a moment? Sometimes we make a big deal about the difference between what's sacred and what's secular. It's nonsense. There's no such thing. See, what we do on Monday is just as spiritual and just as sacred as what we do here on Sunday. And it's living out for God on Monday. Just read a book called Thank God It's Monday. And it really pushes that point very clearly to us, that the work that we do in service for God is really not secular or spiritual, it's life. Ministry is life. Ministry is not what we do up here on the pulpit. That's only one aspect of it. Ministry is the way we live in our normal daily life and experience. So it's not just about Sundays. It's about you and I being called to be God with skin on in homes, neighborhoods, boardrooms, classrooms, halls of parliament, chambers of commerce, building sites, shopping centers, salons, sporting clubs, social and service clubs. And it's not just about words. It's about being a reflection. It's about living before people, living as reflections, well diggers, serving right where we are, doing the work that we have been given to do. We are working in a store, for example. We're going to be known for service. We're going to be known as people that serve, people that give of themselves. And in time we will find people that we serve with loving hands. They will respond to that gracious smile and that atmosphere and culture of service. And then when something happens in life, they will come. And there will be that connection and that opportunity to minister out of what God has done for us. So if I want to discover why I've been born, I need to confirm my identity. That involves breaking free from the patterns from the past. And I need to embrace God's plan for my life. If I'm going to discover God's plan, how does that happen? Just one more thing, is it okay? One more thing. Exodus chapter 3, we read there. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Moses placed himself in a position to hear God. And I need to make an intentional effort to place myself in a position where I can hear God. We all do. And in the busyness of life, with all the traffic noise of life, it needs to be an intentional motivation in our hearts and lives and things that we put in place in life to be able to hear God speak to us. And that simply might be in our Bible reading and prayer time, or it might be in our Sunday services, or in our life groups, the podcasts that we listen to, in the intentional down times when we walk along the beach and we say, God, I want to hear from you. And the quietness where the traffic noise of life is far away and we've simply got the opportunity to focus on what God is saying to us. Intentional times of hearing God, we need to place ourselves in that position. Amazing fulfillment in life comes in living through the way God has planned us to be. and why we have been born brings great fulfillment to us when we live in the way that we have been planned for and born. We're all unique, we're all different, but serving God in our everyday life and experience.